Sega's Bad Boys Podcast presents Matt Michaels, People I Don't Hate.
What's up, everybody? This is Darewolf PJ Black, and you're listening to the Vegas Bad Boys Podcast.
Hey, it's Matt Michaels along with Sin City Steve, and we're talking to none other than Dickie Mayer. Dickie, how you doing today, man?
I'm great. How you guys doing?
Well, you know what? It has been a very interesting time in this period of our lives. So, have you been able to get out a little bit and stay away from being stir crazy?
You know what, bro? I've been working this whole time throughout this whole day. I'd be working security. So, I mean, it does suck, man. Pretty much almost everyone I know has lost their job. Everyone's going a little stir crazy, and the internet's kind of the only place to go. But honestly, man, you just gotta kind of, now's the time to like start those pieces or like start that thing that you've been wanting to, you know, that you've been putting on.
I think that's that's the perfect answer. And I know that like stuff around the house I've been putting off for months on end, and now it's like staring me in the face going, hey, I dare you to take this and, you know, clean this and, you know, get everything organized and dusted and all that crap. And it's like, man, in some ways this is just kind of more of a pain in the ass because now I have to do the stuff that I didn't do.
Just staring you in the face on your tasks. Yeah, I mean now's the time. Clean out the closet and everything.
Definitely, man. And so we'll start in with what you're doing, well, what a lot of people know you from, I should say. You're currently working with Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. You've had the opportunity to be around someone with a terrific mind for the business aspect of pro wrestling and David Marquez. Is there anything in particular that you picked up from David?
Dave's a real interesting guy, you know, and I've known him for a few years now. The biggest thing I took from Dave and working with Dave is just make it work, you know, whatever it is, you know, whatever you got, like, tools necessary, but, like, that's kind of the biggest draw that I've ever, like, taken from David. Like, we just always kind of, like, even at Hollywood, because I've watched from when I had started over there in, like, 2016, like, beginning of 2016 when I started, and then where they are, let's say, like, right now, I mean, minus the coronavirus, I mean, everything's done. Like shut down right now, but I mean they've grown so much and it's crazy. And like they even before me, they had always been growing. Like they had grown, like, you know. But it's just like, I don't know, Dave's always just made it work. Like, you know, like nothing is ever really perfect at the tapings. I mean, but we make it work, you know. So it's like one of the things, just to kind of, you know, believe in what you're doing. Like, who gives a crap what everybody else thinks? So that's like, that's why I got a lot of respect for Dave, because, you know, he always sticks to his guns, you know.
Most definitely, man.
Would you say that Dave is basically kind of a, I don't know, like the I don't want to say Vince McMahon, but almost like a Kevin Dunn in terms of,
I'm sorry, I cut you off. Go ahead.
Oh, no, that's okay. No. I just, in terms of everything that, you know, he's done production-wise and, you know, everything with Championship Wrestling from Hollywood just looks so good, and the stories are really well, you know, fleshed out. You can tune into the product on TV, and you know who to root for, and you know who to hate. And it's just very, very old school and really well presented.
Yeah, I really like all the NWA stuff that they're doing. Like, I want to be a part of it. You know, I took a break kind of from wrestling, like, in December, like, after after like a feud at Hollywood. Like, I just like a lot of like kind of like injuries piling up, and like, man, like wasn't in the best headspace, you know?
Yeah.
So I kind of like needed a little bit of time off. Like the last 2 years, I've been going pretty hard and like traveling a lot, and like, you know, dealing with like the not so glamorous side of wrestling, because I'm not a big star, you know. So I'm like trying to make that work, you know. And I don't know, it gets crazy, you know. Just like when you feel like pressure, you know, like I've always like you want to be your best, but you don't feel your best, you know.
Right. What has been your biggest obstacle?
I don't think it's that. I think myself, I guess. I think every wrestler gets in their own way, or they could. I think that maybe listening, taking the wrong advice, or, you know, because there's a lot of people always trying to tell you where to go, what to do in wrestling, you know, and you want to feel like, you know, some of these people that you can trust, you know, but you just never really know. Because it's real life.
Right.
But I think the biggest obstacle is that wrestling in general is very challenging. You know, it's not easy, but it's almost simple. It's hard to explain. But I think the biggest challenge a wrestler is going to face in the wrestling business is going to be like his own personal doubt and his own like perception of their perception.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. And do you think that taking a little time has been able to kind of clear your head a little bit and, you know, give you a little breather and kind of a recharge?
Yes, because honestly, I do feel like my body feels a lot better. And I think, like, mentally for me, where I was at, was after I got back from China, I spent too much in China, and it was, like, really difficult, in a sense. I kind of, you know, I didn't have, like, $1 million deal going out there.
Right.
So it was just not the easiest thing. And then it kind of burned me out. I was just like, man, what am I doing this? Like, you know, I'm like, I got real sick, man. I had to pass, like, a kidney stone over there. Like, I just had the worst luck.
Woof.
Ever. Yeah. And I just had, like, it was just tough, man. Like, what do? You know, it just kind of burnt me out. Like, wrestling is everything to me. Like, it's who I am. I just, like, I don't want to, if I'm not, like, having a good time, in a sense, or something's going on, like, I don't want to be around people, like, that are in my profession, and I don't want people to see me like that, you know what I mean?
Right.
So it's like, I just take myself away, you know? But I think it's, like, two steps back, and then one giant leap for whatever I want to do next, you know? Because I'm just always, I have all these ideas, all these things I want to do, but, you know, I guess I'm waiting for something, an opportunity, you know, the right opportunity, like, for me to really dive in and something to get behind me, something like, where everything works, everything is, like, fully, like, balanced. I got, like, something to do, you know?
Yeah.
Definitely, man. And now, obviously, you mentioned your time in China. I mean, man, you had quite the summer in 2019. Championship Wrestling from Hollywood had a talent exchange with Middle Kingdom Wrestling in China, and you competed for them. Then, just a couple of weeks later, you also competed for Pro Wrestling Society in South Korea. You briefly touched on some things that occurred while you were there. What was your overall experience like working there? I know that we've spoken with some people that have worked for OWE. So it'd just be interesting to hear, you know, your story from that.
I thought it was super rad going over there to train guys. And the students that I had, you know, I was able to spend, like, I really just focused on the wrestling. And I thought it was super, super cool. It blew my mind that I got booked for a promotion in South Korea while I was over there. I had the time of my life wrestling in China and South Korea, honestly, and being able to try to help them. It's so much to put into words because there's not much of wrestling in China. There's not, like, there was like the first like ever over there, you know? So like I felt like that I was doing something really, really important, and I took it so seriously, you know? And I tried, I tried to teach those guys, you know, and I tried to help them. And then being able to wrestle, in China, tag that I had wrestled there. I mean, it was just cool. The show I thought was great, you know? The fans were super into it. Like they had their own little kind of, it was like this, like the arena we wrestled in or whatever it is, it was kind of like this big old open, it was like a music stage kind of in a sense, but like no music, but like it was just a big like floor, you know what I mean? But like it was like a bar, nice. Like a bunch of bands would be there like on the night they didn't have the shows. Like, it was just super cool. It's just that China, being from California, China was just very difficult. Because like I really didn't know what I was getting myself into. Because it was like I never really was able to get like a taxi most of the time. Like it was just crazy, but like the wrestling over there, like that, it was exhilarating because I felt that I was like doing things that like no other like stupid kid from SoCal had done. You know what I mean? Like I thought I was doing something special. Like you know, when somebody like a couple of years ago, I was like something really important, and I'm able to give back to the wrestling business in this way and try to help like these guys. I try to help with everything, like so their matches and maybe match structure. Like I tried to inject myself for me at least like leave it better than, you know, how I got there. And I'm saying that it was like a battering thing, but I just wanted to help so bad, you know.
Definitely, man. And so taking it back a little bit further, that actually wasn't the first time that you've wrestled in Asia. Back in 2017, you were also part of Takamichi Oku's 25th anniversary show at Korakuen Hall. I mean, there was a veritable list of legends on that show. If you would, just describe that situation for me.
That show was really surreal, and it was really cool. That was probably like one of the best days of my life, because I got to meet Kota Ibushi and I got to meet Gato, and it was just truly surreal. Like he's talking so cool. He's so, how do I explain? He's the coolest person I've ever met in my life. He's like so cool, you know, but in like a cool way. But him giving me the opportunity, and he would always like kind of just like encourage me, and I thought that the match, he only had like 5 minutes, you know, but I thought it was I thought I made like the most of my time, and then Kota Ibushi stopped me in the doorway. Like I kind of felt like he was trying to like, we didn't like both met up at the same time, and then he like was asking about like, hey, where are you from? And he gave me some advice, like it's really cool. And then, like instead of just like walking to the door, we just went back to the stuff. So I thought, like he was coming to see me and just gave me this advice, and I thought that was super rad. Like it was just the craziest experience ever. Wrestling for Taipei Dojo at the time. Now they are 2AW, but wrestling for them, like that's like where I feel like I belong. Honestly, is wrestling in Japan and doing that whole thing. Like that's like. When I think about wrestling, like that's what I think about. Like it's like my time in Japan and like how I felt. And, you know.
Most definitely, man. How did that come about anyway? Getting to be on, you know, that quality of a show.
So originally Marty Elias kind of got me the connection to get with Taipei Dojo. Marty Elias used to. I started with Empire Wrestling Federation, and Marty Elias he started with Empire Wrestling Federation. And when I first started wrestling, he was involved in PWF in like a faction. I believe the name was Connected. If I'm wrong, like, I'm sorry, but the faction. He was like the manager or something, but he quickly left and did like Lucha Underground. wrestle a match, and then, like, I don't know, he kind of remembered me. He was there in the early days, but then he was gone. So he kind of remembered me, and then he really took a liking to me, and me and Marty are good friends. But he kind of threw it out there to me and a couple others, like, hey, like, you know, I could maybe, like, see what I could do and maybe get some of you guys in Japan. And I feel like I just really took him up on it. I just, like, never, like, I just didn't leave it alone after that. I was like, all right, that's what I want to do. And it ended up making it happen, and I was able to stay for the first time for 3 months. And then I was able to go back the next year. Well, and I feel like, you know, they still have an open door for me. But moving to get onto that show, when I first arrived at Kaitai Dojo, I was super shy, but I had, like, everything to prove. And I wasn't, like, it wasn't that I was shy, but I was just like, damn. Like, it was just crazy. So I had so much to prove. And they had me kind of wrestle Marine's mask, and he was a mask wrestler. And he had me wrestle pretty much, like, the day that I got there. They had me wrestle, it was, like, a match against one of their, like, young boys in front of it was a show day. And I had, like, probably the best match I ever had in my entire life, like, legitimately. Guys. And they're, like blown away. And it just, like, my confidence, like, soared. And then, like, that day they had, like, a real show where, like, fans were going to come. And they put me on against that same guy to the actual show. And then I was on every single show since. And then, so I thought that was super. They just like my style, and I think that, like, it was just perfect for me. Like, the style of those guys, like, it was, I don't know, I just meshed well with all of the guys. It was just perfect timing. Like, it was just perfect. 2017 was, like, the year of my life.
That's awesome, man.
So I reached out to Marty, said I was doing the interview with you today, and asked him if he had, you know, anything that he'd like to pass along to you. And Marty said that Dickie is a great kid with a ton of potential. So that's, like, some of the highest compliments you could get from, you know, someone who, let's face it, was the referee at one of the greatest WrestleMania matches of all time. That's huge praise, man. Go ahead.
Marty means a lot to me. Marty is a great man. I've been meaning to talk to him recently just to catch up, you know, because I've been laying low from wrestling, just taking a break, and then now with this coronavirus, everyone's on the same page.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I think, you know, that's, you know, it's something too where I think laying low also helps you just kind of, you know, recalibrate your mind. And, you know, you're at an age too where you have enough experience behind you where you're starting to enter the maturity phase of now being kind of a seasoned guy and just kind of looking at your, you know, your career and your life and seeing, you know, what you want to do. And I think guys like Marty are a great example of, with words of, like, that kind of praise on you. It shows that you're definitely heading in the right direction. Do you think that you could translate yourself over to, like, Japan full-time? Do you think that's somewhere that you wouldn't mind, like, living for, like, 3 years and really establishing yourself?
I mean, that's where the world, that's where my life is taking me, bro. Like, no matter what, like, that's like my, what if people say, like, safe space? Like, bro, that's just, when I come home to California, for some reason, I get so depressed, bro. Like, it's just crazy, like, because, like, wrestling is, like, everything.
And, yeah.
Like, the way that it's set up over there is wrestling is 24/7 every single day. Everybody's working towards the same dream. It's just, like, this pie in the sky we all have. And then sometimes I don't feel that. I just feel like it's very, like, just because somebody doesn't like you, you're not on the show. Or just because, and I don't necessarily agree with that. But it is what it is. That's what wrestling is.
Right.
But that's just, and I'm wrong, but I'm not, but I'm right at the same time. It's very political, and people are very sensitive nowadays, and that's why I just lay low, because, like, I feel like, you know, everybody has a lot to say, but at the same time, it's just, like, it just depends on who you are, if you can say it or not.
Do you think that, do you think that that's something that people who are kind of young and, you know, don't really see the politics of it until a few years in, do you think that's something that burns young wrestlers out to the point where they're just like, you know what, I give up. Fuck it. I'd rather, you know, do ushering at a movie theater or something that, you know, I can, you know, just get away from this, you know, bullshit of, you know, people feeding their own egos, essentially.
It's easy to get caught up in a lot of stuff. There's so many rumors in wrestling and there's so much stuff going on. But I also think it's just super important for myself to just truly believe in, like, where I can go and what I always have a place with 2AW, and I know in wrestling, like, I do have a lot of allies. And I love SoCal. I love everything. I get burned out and I get depressed being home. Being at home, I need to travel. I think guys get burnt out because there's just a lot of empty promises out there. And, you know, we're just like, we all want to do the same thing.
Right.
We all want to do the same thing, you know. Like, I got respect for anybody who does this, you know. It's not that deep. But at the same time, it means a lot to some of us, you know. It means a whole lot, you know. And it means a lot to me. And it can affect me if I'm like, I feel like my trajectory isn't where, like, and I feel like, you know, like, it just, you know, it could be tough on a young wrestler. I started wrestling when I was 20 years old. I started training, you know, and I'm 26 now. It's just crazy. Like, and I wouldn't trade those years for anything. Like, it's made me who I am as a person.
Right.
But at the same time, I do, like, you do see, like, man, if I didn't listen to that guy, like, I would have been able to do this. Or if I didn't, but at the same time, it's just like, you know, it's all part of the process. Like, you know, I believe in things like that. And there's a lot of people who broke the mold and who are, like, getting theirs now, and I'm proud of them, you know. And I think it's the raddest thing ever. I just think, for me, in order to really tap into what I am as a wrestler, I need to go back in Japan and enter, like, that whole world and just do my thing. Like, I was in magazines over there, you know, and then you come home and just, like, you really ain't crap, you feel like, you know. It's crazy. But when I go over there, I'm like a magazine, people are making, like, voodoo dolls of me, and, like, it's crazy. I get a gift every show and stuff, and it's like, that stuff doesn't matter, but, like, it just makes you feel like, wow, like, I really put a lot of effort, I really invested a lot over these last years, like, trying to have the nicest gear, the nicest boots, yada yada, trying to have, like, you know, I felt like I was very generous to everybody who was helping me, I was helping them. I felt like it was just, like, the giving tree, man. But it's not always, like, the case, you know. It's just, you get burnt out that way when it's just like, it doesn't, because joining wrestling and then what it is, like, from 20 to 26, completely different than what I thought it was going to be. I'll tell you that.
And you trained with Jesse Hernandez, right?
I did initially start training with Jesse Hernandez for years. And it's still a great school. I'm not really sure. I haven't been down there for a minute, but I mean, Jesse does know his stuff, you know, and he's usually got good guys there, you know. When I was over there, I was training with, like, Andy Brown, and I was training a lot with a lot of guys, like a lot of the SoCal guys, like RJ Ruiz, and my first training was with Alex Kozlov, which I thought was crazy.
Huh.
Adrian Quest,
yeah.
a bunch of guys that are doing great now. So it's like, you know, it was a good school. I think they're kind of slept on, honestly.
Yeah, well, they used to, and the other thing too is he's been around for so long that I think that it just gets taken for granted that school is there. Yeah. You know, speaking of, like you were saying, magazines and getting that popularity in Japan, one of my favorite things on the internet right now is a throwback to Friday, February 1st, 2019, which was a Flashback Friday, which you were featured on the Beefcakes of Wrestling.
Really?
Yeah. And it's basically Yeah, it's just... I don't know who runs this page, but it's a handful of pictures of you and a little, you know, a little blurb about your career. And yeah, you made the Beefcakes of Wrestling, brother.
There's a lot of fan fiction, man.
So, Dickie, you had mentioned that you've taken some time away. What have you been doing to keep yourself occupied, other than working? Like you said that you've been working the entire time during this quarantine, but what kinds of things have you done to keep yourself occupied?
I mean, I used to chop it up and hang out with a buddy, you know, or exercise, but it's just like now I'd be exercising in my room or, like, you know, trying to just work it out. Like, I don't know in my area the severity, or, you know, like, I'm always looking at people funny if they're coughing. In the meantime, it's just like I'm just trying to kind of stay low and stay healthy, because that's been the plan all along, you know. It's like, all right, well, now I got this freaking virus cracking, I gotta chill out even more, you know. So I got the mask for work, and, you know, but at the same time, it's just kind of difficult. I'm definitely not a homebody. I'm definitely, you know, so it's just like, but at the same time, it is what it is. I mean, grow up, you know, you got to stay home. You got to. So you just got to find, you could look up on YouTube, like a full body workout. You don't even need weights or whatever, I'm sure.
Right.
All you need is like, you could figure it out. It's just so crazy, man. During these times, and this is where you should, like, read the books that you've been on a bookshelf, or, like, you know, clean out the closet, and, like we were talking about before.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep yourself occupied. At least, like, be positive with your time. If you don't, because I don't, like, dude, wrestling was my life. Like, I love music. I love sneakers, bro. Like, Nike SBs and, you know, whatever. I love, like, just weird flannels or black hoodies. That's why I'm just like, not trying to do that. Man, the whole time.
But, without a doubt, man. Yeah, it's you definitely feed that Amazon addiction, you know?
Yeah, I know. Shoot. It's definitely time for everybody to just take a chill pill and spend time with their family and
yes.
Maybe, you know, we just work on like planning, whatever. That's what I'm doing. That's all the advice I can give.
Definitely, man. What would be something that our listeners would be surprised to know about Dickie that we haven't discussed so far today?
That's interesting. I got to pull out I got you though. Just something for the fans. I mean, I just thought it was really cool that when I was in Kai Tai Dojo, they gave me the name American Thunder, because a wrestler named Kevin Condren was always telling me, like, you should be Dickie Thunder Banner, blah, 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 before I went to Japan. He was always telling me, like, oh, that's so cool, because, like, Jushin Thunder Liger is, like, top 3 favorite wrestlers of all time. for sure.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I got like the 8-disc set, dude. Like, oh my God. but like, I was like, all right. And then they made it American Thunder, and I kind of ran with that. I was like, that's dope. I'll take it, because like the dojo gave it to me. Like, so, all right. And then I ended up like, I've met Liger over the years and stuff. Like I met him at like PWG when I was like head of ring crew over there for a couple years, and like like I met him again in like Japan, and then I saw him at a show for Durango and in Labyrintho. I saw him at a show and he recognized me again. He was asking me about Japan and he asked me for a picture, and it was on like a flip phone. Like,
oh wow.
I thought it was like the coolest shit ever, and like I felt like everybody I was with was mad at me. I thought it was the coolest thing ever, and then I was like, all right, like I could definitely get hit by a car and that's all right. But, because Jushin's like, it kind of made me, and then he posted it on his Twitter, and that's what the whole point is. So that's a fun fact. And I wrestled Ronda Rousey a couple times at Brian Kendrick's school. So those are fun facts.
Oh, wow.
So you
had like practice matches.
Yeah, you got to help her when she was working out at Santino Brothers. What was it like seeing her mentality of training and her desire? Do you think that like that's the type of like passion that you have as well?
She's just a go-getter, you know, and she said something sometime that like blew my mind, and she's like, hey, I might not know how to do it, but I can find somebody that'll teach me how to do it or something. Like, she's like, I got the resources to do that. So I mean, she's just a go-getter. That's what I saw, and I just tried to help as much as I could. Like, I didn't like train her from like top to bottom, no, but I did wrestle her like 3 or 4 times. Like, it was crazy. Like I never did no WWE recruitment, but there are images of me like getting slammed around by her on like WrestleMania, which is crazy. I thought that was crazy, but that's a fun fact. She was always a delight. She never hurt me. She was cool. She sure could have though.
do you think have you ever had the thought or desire to step into an MMA ring, or has it?
Bro, I guess man, honestly, bro, like I've already had a couple of, like concussions, man.
Yeah,
that's why I'm unsafe, you know. Like, it just, well, I mean, look, bro, people train their whole lives, and to them, it's like not unsafe. They're trained to protect themselves.
Right.
But for me, it's like, I think wrestling is the move. I felt like if MMA was the move, I probably would have joined MMA when I was 20. You know what I mean? Like, but I don't know. Like, just, dude, all the MMA guys that are popular are pro wrestlers.
Right.
So, yeah. So true.
Is there something go ahead.
I said, I'm sorry for cussing. I kind of have a sailor's
mouth. Oh, we don't fucking care.
I cut twice or something. I was like, oh no.
Yeah.
Is there something that you're watching right now to stay busy? Anything that you would suggest for listeners who are looking for something to distract their mind right now? Or is there anything that you're reading that would be interesting for anyone to pick up?
If you look at the books objectively, I would say read Bret Hart's book, the pink one, and then read Dynamite Kid book. Those books are crazy.
Yeah.
Those books are crazy. Read Chris Jericho's first book. I didn't read the other one. Like, if you're going to read, like, if we're talking about wrestling fans, like, dude, hit me up. I got bunches of DVDs. You know, paper shipping, I'll figure it out. But I got, like, I got crazy amounts of wrestling DVDs. That, like, I've seen them all 3 times each. Like, some of them aren't open. Some of them I could actually sell, but it's like, I feel like a jerk if I just sell it. Like, you're just like, you know.
Yeah.
But I would say, you know, any of the autobiographies are great. William Regal's is pretty good. I like that book. What else, man? Bryan Danielson's got a good book.
Yep.
Um,
did you
very good.
Have you read? I'm sorry. Have you read Al Snow's book or Sabu's book? Those have been pretty good reads that I've had here recently.
I haven't read Al Snow's, but I should read Sabu's because I was on tour with him in England for like 10 days.
Oh, nice.
For LDN Wrestling. He was so cool. So nice, dude. He was actually real cool. But it was like, it was just Sabu, man. I was like, damn, that's crazy.
Yeah, I highly suggest, since you do know him a little bit, read the book. His story is fascinating, and you're right, he's a really nice dude, cool dude, and just reading the book was like, holy shit, I didn't know he went through half the shit he went through in the early part of his life. It was just fascinating, man.
He, from my experiences with him, I think he's an awesome dude. I think he's great. I didn't get to wrestle him. Broke my heart. I begged the guy, the promoter, because like we just spent so much time together. I was like, "Hey, let me wrestle Sabu." That would have been great. That would have been cool. I would have went through a table or four.
Yeah,
or four.
So what would you say if there's, as we kind of get to a wrap up here, if there's one piece of advice or one thing that you would tell someone, or even your 20-year-old self, that you know now, that you would pass along to, you know, a younger generation who's just starting up and, you know, just coming along?
My best advice to young up-and-comers would be to truly appreciate what you have in your life. Don't take anything for granted. To save your money. Like, it's good to ball out, right? Yeah, it feels good. But save your money. Like, think ahead. Save your cash. Believe in yourself, you know? And always make sure that, you know, like, the people in your life know that they're important, you know? That's it, you know? Because everything else is like, let's say you're a wrestler and then you break your leg really bad where you just can't wrestle anymore.
Yeah.
And wrestling was your life. You know, and you, like, you know, you gave everything, you know? It's just don't put all your eggs in one basket. Save your money. Be smart, you know? Don't, because who you hang around with is who you're going to be. It doesn't matter. Like, you know, it doesn't matter what you say. I would just say, like, you know, just be smart, you know? Stay out of trouble. And follow your dreams. Like, don't, like, because you can make it happen. Because if I can go from legitimately, like, doing nothing to, like, wrestling at Kirk and Hall, and Kota Ibushi's, like, giving me compliments, and, like, I was, like, in super crazy shape, anybody could do that, you know? And it's like, anybody. So, that's it. I mean, you just gotta stay positive. You can't be such a negative Nancy. My problem is I'm very negative. And that's why this break has been good for me. You know, I'm just like, you know, getting in touch with what I want, you know?
Like, yeah.
So, and like the coronavirus is kind of like, everything's kind of put on pause anyway.
Right.
You know, but I just got to figure out how I would be able to even get to Japan at this point. You know, that's it. But yeah, everybody will be all right if they just, like, truly just, like, hunker down and, like, believe in themselves and, like, you know, really stay, like, united.
Yeah.
That's the only way. We can't be fighting on the internet. We can't be arguing in these lines that we have to wait in, or whatever. You know, people are getting a little crazy, but we don't have to be.
Well, I think that's some pretty good advice, and I think that we can all learn to get along, hopefully, during this time. I'm so glad that you were able to join us. And if anyone wants to get in touch with you, how would they go about looking up your social handles? And is there any bit of merchandise out there that fans might be able to get?
at the moment, I don't have everything's kind of. I got a Twitter, the Dicky Man, but at the moment, I don't have anything cracking. When I'm just saving everything, so I would just say stay tuned. You know, for the rebrand.
Yeah, nice. Well, we wish you all the best. As soon as,
without a doubt.
Yeah, as soon as you are rebranded and up and going, we'll definitely want to talk to you again, brother. You know, we appreciate all the hard work you've put in, and hopefully, you know, this coronavirus not only gives you time a little more to recharge, but also just recharges everyone, and then we'll see great things from Dicky Mayer moving on.
I hope so, too. I appreciate you guys reaching out to me on the talk. You guys are the best, man. So I'll stay in touch.
Awesome, brother.
Man. Thank you.
We appreciate it. Everyone, stay tuned. Okay, let's do the lead-in and the lead-out. The lead-in will be this. Hey, it's Matt Michaels here with Sin City Steve, and today we are talking to none other than Dicky Mayer. You might remember him from Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. He's been in China, he's been in Japan, South Korea. He's a great guy, and we want you to just sit back, relax, and enjoy this interview with Dicky Mayer. Let's try this. Let's do this. Hey, Matt Michaels here with Sin City Steve. And today we're going to be talking to someone that I don't hate. And that's the fabulous Dicky Mayer. You'll remember him from Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. He's been in Japan. He's been in China, South Korea. He's a great worker, a great guy. Sit back, relax, and enjoy our interview with Dicky Mayer. Hey, thanks for taking the time to listen to our talk with Dicky Mayer. And keep your eyes and ears open for the next Matt Michaels People That I Don't Hate. And thank you once again for listening to all of the Vegas Bad Boys podcasting shows. We really appreciate it. Look us up on social media, look us up on YouTube, and definitely subscribe and tell your friends that we are here for you to listen and enjoy. Bad Boys of Podcasting.